Today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Yud. And we've been talking about the difference between Nidrei Ksherim and Nidrei Rishoyim. And that had to do with our insight into the fact that Nedarim and Naziris are looked at very ambivalently in the Torah. And there is an element of chet that's involved in them. We saw that Moshe Rabbeinu refers to them with Zeh HaDavar instead of as he would normally in Kamar Hashem, or just say the Mamorim, Vaydabra Hashem El Moshe. And that's to indicate that when it comes to Neder and to a lesser extent to Nedava, a person is going off on his own and asserting things that by the very fact that he's asserting them is being Eimed Keneged HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'dayach HaMasha Asher Teira, you have to go ahead and assert your own way of things. On the other hand, of course, there's always an inyan in the Torah of midas chasidus, in which a person needs something that is specifically meant for him. And over there, he wants HaKadosh Baruch Hu as an ally and that the Torah should support him in these things. So there we also have a different getter. The way that the Mishnah has been machalic between these, which is also based on the machlokas of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, about whether Tov Asher Lo Tidor, Mishnah Tidor Velo Tishale, means better not to be neder at all. And the way that we use that over here is that to make a neder in the fashion that it can't be bali de takola, or the way that the Ran understands that the difference between neder and nedava, therefore, is a question of whether we're using the language of nadvanut, which was the language that we refer to with Avram Avinu as bat nadiv. So nedivut, nedivei amim, that's a sense of a person who really is deeply involved in his heart and wanting to do things. Masha'in came when he makes a neder, he's being assertive. And we pointed out that even among the goyim, we talk about nasty language as being swearing. Why is it swearing? Because it's an understanding that the nature of neder is itself an assertiveness and an aggressiveness that is inappropriate for an adam to have. Okay, so we tried to figure out whether the idea that there could be such a thing as Nidrei Ksherim that would affect us in such a way that it's possible to make Nazirus Kenidrei Rishayim. So we ended up having Kenidrei Tzadikim. We ended up having two approaches, as I mentioned, one like Rabbi Meir, one like Rabbi Yehuda. And we ended up having two approaches, one like Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik says that the nature of a Nazirus, which is a Nadvanut, even though obviously, technically speaking, there's no such thing. It's always Hareni Nazir, is the immediate chalos of a state. But nonetheless, the question of your intent and where it's coming from. So the story of Shimon HaTzadik was the story of the kid that came up in Hadaron, and he was so impressed with the complete commitment of this person to fight against his Yetzirah that he took that and he considered it to be ro'i, to be mishtatef in that nedava, which is technically a neder, by having the korbanos, even of a nazir tomei. Then we had the other approach of Rabbi Yehuda's own approach. Rabbi Yehuda's approach was that the chasidim harishonim, who would never be nichshal in an avera, and therefore would never have an opportunity to bring a korban chatas. So because of that, in order to be mechayev themselves in a korban chatas, they would make a neder for naziris in that way, they would have an excuse for bringing a korban chatas, which otherwise they would never have. Now, you'll note, by the way, I'm sure you remember, that Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takola Al Yadam, according to Tosfos, is not really true. It's Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takola Al Yadam only in terms of Achila. Tosfos says that in a few places, remember? We had a Chulin, we had it in Shabbos. So what does that have to do with the issue over here? Okay, so there are a number of different approaches. Personally, I must say, I don't really find the question terribly problematic in that the pashtus, there's a difference between the type of chait that's going to be mechayev the adam, a chatas in a way in which there's some derech of something that he could have done to avoid it. Okay, but we'll see. There's different approaches, but they're all tirutzim by the achreinim. So some say that since most chatos, why they're called stam chatas, is called a chatas chelev, because most chatos come alei surei achila, and that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu saves them on. However, There are those who are Metarets, that this thing that the Tosfos says that only Isuri Achila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is matzel them from, that's only talking about later Doires. And here we're talking about the Hasidim HaRishonim. And the Hasidim HaRishonim, they were Shomor completely. And there was no way that they would be Chayav Achatas at all, which is a very likely answer. It's an interesting relation. And one of his children, who was now a big Rav, asked Rav Moshe this kasha, and Rav Moshe told them that it depends on what type of chatas. If it's a chatas that comes with a level of not being careful, rashlanut, so then that's something that is completely different. Here we're talking about shkogo shechayovim alav chatas, and that's usually has in it some level of rashlanut, but otherwise it would be called an anus. The problem, of course, is that the place where Tosfos is masker this in Shabbos has to do with Rabbi Shmuel Koravahita. You know, so that's where, and that is a chatas that has rashlanut. Okay. Anyway, but it's an interesting point. But in any event, that's what we were holding yesterday, and what that means is that there is slight machlokas between the Shimon HaTzadik approach and the Rabbi Yehuda approach, which we'll talk about in a moment. But it turns out that Rabbi Shimon disagrees vehemently with Rabbi Yehuda. And he says, to find an excuse to bring a chatas, to do something that would make you be called a Rasha, Kinidre Rishayim, that nobody would do. Even though obviously they're doing it, L'shem Shamayim, but even to be Isaac in the Dorim and possible Mikshal. Therefore, and that's where we're up to now. And that is Rabbi Shimon Omer. It's about one third of the way down. Rabbi Shimon Omer, no way. Lo nadru ben azir. Look, you want to bring a korban? Rotzel avi oila, mitnadev. Maybe you want to bring a shlomim, mitnadev, maybe he. You want to bring a korban teda with the arba mine lechem? Please, go right ahead. Mitnadev umedvi, but nazirus chas v'shalom lo hitnatvu kidei shelo yikaru chotim. Why would a person who's a chosid want to be begetter the Torah that says v'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh? So therefore, I disagree with you, and there would be no way to make a chiyav of a korban nazir unless it was as rishonim. Omer Abaye, the truth is that we have three shitas here that are all basically the same. They're not really the same, but it turns out that Shimon HaTzadik and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar HaKafar, which we haven't learned yet, they all hold that a Nozir is a bad boy. Now, obviously in different ways, because Shimon HaTzadik was talking about a Nozir Tameh, only where he might have Charata, and Rabbi Shimon himself was talking about any Nozir. He's considered to be Chota Ala Nefesh, that he was tzir atzma min hayayin. But the idea that they bring out that there's this bad aspect of Naziris, they're all the same. And that is the Nazir Chotehavi. Shimon HaTzadik, we learned. Rabbi Shimon, we just learned. Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Baribi, we haven't learned yet. So let's do that now. Netanya. Rabbi Elazar HaKafar Baribi Omer, V'chiper alav me'asher chata al hanefesh. Here is Rabbi Elazar HaKafar's point. Even though it's talking about here a Nazir that was mittameh, and when he's bringing his korban, his osham, and his chatas, he was indeed chote ala nefesh, the pashtus is that he exposed himself to tumas meis, which is a shechata ala nefesh. But lemaisa, the posuk could have just said me'asher chata. I mean, it's obvious that there's a chet here. Why does it say chatal nefesh? This is what Rabbi Elazar HaKafar is being very careful to understand. So he's asking, is it nefesh? I mean, what sense did he act against a neshama? Ella, the point is, he was mitzayer, his nefesh. Nefesh is the living, excited part of Bosar, that is a nefesh chaya, and he's mitzayer atzma min hayayin. So he's damaged his own nefesh by doing that. What right does he have to do that? if an individual was lotzi eratzmo ela min hayayin, all he did was, how much pleasure did he lose? Wine is plenty of other things. He could always drink beer. Nonetheless, he's nikra chayte. I'm sure Rav Papa wouldn't have been against this. So he is called a chote. Somebody puts himself into a tinus, right? So he's not going to enjoy anything. I mean, imagine what a big rusha that guy is. Alachat kama v'kama. Nikan, kol ha-yoshev b'ta'anit, nikra chote. Somebody puts himself into a state of ta'anit where he's denying himself pleasures that are meant to be his in Eilam Hazeh. He is a bad boy. It's not the right way to do things. I mean, obviously, the same way that we paskin l'gavi Shimon HaTzadik, that someone is allowed to use Naziras to fight his Yetzer Hara. So he's allowed to use Ta'anit in the same way. If somebody feels he's not going to be able to do Teshuvah unless he's in a Matzav of Tainus, whatever, there are ways in which it's possible to do it begetter a kosher. It's just not the norm and not the preferred hanag. That's what he's trying to say. So in that sense, they all agree there's something wrong. There's a big difference between them because according to Shimon HaTzadik, the only problem was a Nazir who would have charota because of the lengthening of the period of the Naziris. Otherwise, we said, he probably knew what he was doing, so he's not a Rosh. The other two shitas, Rabbi Elazar HaKafar and Rabbi Shimon, hold he's a Nazir, a chayte, no matter what. But the bottom line is that they all hold their zechet. Asks the Gemara, according to Rabbi Shimon HaKafar, then how do you explain the fact that this pasuk is talking about a Nazir Tamei Dafka? Since according to you, the problem is not that he was mit Tamei, but rather, or not even like Shimon HaTzadik, that he ended up keeping a longer Naziris. But rather, you feel that Chatala Nefesh is the very fact that he wasn't going to drink wine, but that's true of any Nazir. Why does it say a Dafka by a Nazir Tamei? Oh, that's because, says Rabbi Elazar, Mishum, the Shana Bechetu, over here the guy is a double Chayte, so that's where we want to put it. Not is he a nut for preventing himself from enjoying a good wine, which Alon definitely backs us up about there. I can see him on that. And he's even a double bad boy because he ended up not being careful about being mit tameh to a maid. Fine. And this brings us to a very important moment for drinking. I'm not well enough, Bernier. Little by little. I can barely have the energy to actually pick up the glass.
Just a quick question, Rebbe. Is there another place where the Gemara speaks about this? Because the Rabbi says, Chen Bamru Chachamin, Lo Dayecha Masha.
Yes, there's many other places.
Other places, not only
places. That's just here. Yeah, and we've quoted that many times the past 2 days. You should remember it. Lo Dayecha Masha. Fine. Now, we have a moment from our dear Capitan, who is celebrating his son-in-law's Aliyah together with the Likud. And there he was standing right next to Netanyahu on the night of the great victory. So as you can see, our Capitan is in a much better mood. He's got a big smile and he's feeling 100% recovered. All right. Wonderful. So, Rabosai, guess where we've arrived? We have arrived at last to Ko Kinuye Nidarim Kinidarim Kecharamim Kecharamim Veshvuot Keshvuot, so on and so forth, right? So that was introduced us in the first Mishnah, but we ended up remembering going off on what looked like a tangent, depending on where you add the words about Ko Yadayim of the Zeros, and we never ended up explaining what these kinuyim actually mean. Now, it turns out that the whole question of kinuyim is a profound excursion into the nature of language. It turns out to be very much a machlokas between the earlier Tanayim, precisely how much is considered to be language. It's nogea the difference between Lashon HaKodesh and other languages. It's nogea the question of when slang becomes part of a language. These are all issues that are very much living issues today. As you know, the arguments before every dictionary puts out a new edition are, wow, people are ready to kill. How do you call that a slang? Or the Oxford English Dictionary has allowed that filthy word into our language where it's really French. and so on and so forth, right? So these are the types of discussions you have before every edition. And they're not just loose discussions. They're discussions on the underlying philosophy of understanding the nature of the development of language, which itself is one of the biggest issues, even especially among the concepts of Minos today, the formation of language and all of the rotten people, some of them unfortunately Jewish, are involved in the entire analysis of the brain's development of language. And some of the biggest apikurism come from that element of the world, which is the discussion of brain function with language and what pre-programmed elements are about language and how the human mind is structured for language, which of course is very much part of the Ruach Memalala of Adam. These are very, very serious contemporary issues, and they are no closer to a determination now than they were at the time of the Gemara. But the Gemara is utilizing these questions as the fundamental elements of Nedarim. Why? Because remember, Nedarim is the one place where the Ruach Memalala, on two different levels, the interrelationship of the human being with the nature of Hegedesh, and the interrelationship of a human being with a Zeh HaDavar. Note the Zeh HaDavar in the context of Dvorim Bichlal. So then that means that here is the place for us to recognize what can a Ruach Memalala achieve. And what do we mean by the very word mean? What does meaning mean when it comes to language? So all of these questions are raised with the breakdown in language. So as we've seen before, the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, there's a question whether bichlal, what we are talking about over here with these kinuyim, are they languages other than Lashon HaKodesh, or are they artificial languages? And we already saw the difference between those things. If they be an artificial language, then Chazal were koveya these words to be used. Therefore, they have a universal usage. Masha Einkein, a particular language, would only have meaning where it is the language that's being used. Now, that leads to another very important question. And that is, the Ran considers all of the kinuyim, even according to the Shita, that it's not a Lashon Shebod Chachamim. Remember, that's Reish Lakish. But rather, like Rabbi Yochanan, and that these are actually Lashonas HaUmeis, the Ran says they are not Lashonas HaUmeis as part of the normal vocabulary. They are all corrupted, bastardized words from Lashon HaKodesh that then became incorporated. So the fact that the Oxford English Dictionary is willing to include the word Mishigas doesn't mean Mishigas is an English word. You see, that's the point. And therefore, according to the Ran, the Chiddush over here is that even corrupted words, once they're part of the communication of the Umays, are nonetheless considered to be a word. They're considered to be language. Now, that's not so pashut, because not all the Rishonim agree with the Ran about this. And actually, there are some very important shitas, like the shita of the Ritva, who holds that the point over here is that any language that is not Lashon HaKodesh, the truth is it's really the Rashba, isn't it? That any Lashonis that are not Lashon HaKodesh, even if they're full Lashonis, not like the Ran, are called Kinuyim. It's an interesting idea. Why are they called Kinuyim? Because all other languages are evolutionary developments without any particular conscious pattern. So the etymologies of other languages, nobody has any idea what they really mean and where they really came from and how they evolved. The only language that we find is an actual language is Lashon HaKodesh, because we find that Adam HaRishon, I'll ask Alon in a moment to speak up, because there's also electronic hands, you know. We're very tsanua over here, especially since we normally have a dermatologist. The moment you put your hand up, he's already analyzing what's your problem. You know, lots of people have ended up in the hospital putting up their hands. Be careful. So anyway, He says that since it's Vayikra Adam Shemais, and that's the only place, the Gemara brings me Khan, that Adam Harishon and Maisa Bereshis was done in Lashon HaKodesh. So that means that other languages, being merely, the way the Rishonim put it, Haskamot, meaning they are consensual. It turns out that people understand each other this way, so that becomes a language. Does that mean it really means anything? It means that a million of us ended up understanding each other because we all grunt like a bunch of cavemen in the same way. That doesn't make it a language, right? This is the Noam Chomsky question. Okay, so in any event, that's a big machlokas, but there's a big difference between the Ran and the Rashba. But now,
but the Ran only says it, Rebbe. The Ran only says it when it comes to Lashon HaKodesh that has been adapted. Is that correct? Not all language.
The Rambam agrees with the Ran, right? And it's very much, but the Rambam agrees with the Ran. And there's a further machlokas that we're going to see, which is what about corruptions of words that were originally corruptions? So in other words, there we have a machlokas we're going to see today with Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel about what level of corruption is acceptable. Now, we understand that that is part of what a dictionary fights over, where I know that a word is a corruption, and now there's further corruptions of a word that I accepted, which was itself a corruption. At what point does it simply become slang, in which case it may not be Milashina Umais at all? These are further questions. Yes, Reb Alon, nice to have you back with us. What world are you in? I find out what universe you're in, then you can tell me the planet, and then you can get even to the continent.
I'm in Talmud. This afternoon, I'm going to go to Yerushalayim, and I'll be in Israel for 3 weeks, and I'm hoping, Bezra Hashem, we can carve out some time.
And you're going to be driving your bicycle in the big bike race?
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. I don't think anybody looking at you would think that you're a star bike driver here.
As Paul Simon said, I will not be convicted by a jury of my peers, still crazy after all these years. But once we have a Ran who says it's Haskama, and the Torah talks about Ber Hetev and Chivim Lushonos, ultimately, what difference does it make? I mean, if let's say myself and my friend come up with the language, so it's the two of us.
I will tell you what difference it makes. It makes a tremendous difference, La Halacha. The Mishnah Brura makes this difference. The difference is, suppose you say Kriyat Shema in the language that you speak with your friend or with your twin. You're not going to be Yotzei. Suppose you speak your language in a language where in this city, everyone speaks English. For instance, Yerushalayim.
Right.
So suppose you speak your Kriyat Shema out in English in Yerushalayim. Then you would be Yotzei. Suppose you speak your language, however, in Spanish in Yerushalayim, then you won't be Yotzei, even though there are many Spanish speakers, but it's not the common language in that city. However, even if you speak in English in Yerushalayim, suppose you're not an English speaker and you're reading it in English out of an English sitter. You're not Yotzei. Why? Because the language has to include your understanding plus your ability to communicate. Masha Enkein, in Lashon HaKodesh, suppose you say it and you don't understand a word, then you're Yotzei. Why? Because it's a real language, not a Haskama language. So it turns out to make a major difference. Mahalocha.
But once I'm talking about being Machayev myself in a Neder, what difference does it make if it's communicated to them?
Language. Language includes two elements, local communication and understanding. That's the Mishnah Berurah. He speaks this out in the Bir Halacha. So it ends up becoming a Nafkamina Lehalacha, Mamish. These questions about Haskamot versus language is fascinating. So these are like tremendous. And remember with this whole prokim of Eilu Ne'amarim B'Choloshen and the differences with Teres Makbet on things having an impact because of the specific Lashon in Lashon HaKodesh. This is a very, very powerful sugya. So let's talk about a fascinating thing, which I haven't seen many speak about. And that is in this Mishnah, we find the moment that we look carefully at it, we find that there's a big difference between the type of words that are considered to be either corruptions or the accepted words from the Umay Sa'ilam. between the kinuyim for a korban versus kinuyim for the cheramim and the nazirus and things like that, which is very strange. So take a look at this list. Omer, konam, konach, konas. These are very funny ways of saying korbanas. They all are missing a main letter. I mean, the word korban, I mean, you'd think at least would include the resh sound, right? And over here, they don't even include the resh sound. So, hare elu kinuyim lekorban. Masha inking, when we're talking about words that are usable, and by the way, there are those Rishonim who say, even according to those who say that it's a lashon that the Umayyads used, the Chachamim selected among those words, words that would be the standard for making a neder with. Even if they didn't make up the language, they set these words aside. Now remember, as we're going to see, the main reason for doing all of this is as part of our overall concern in this Masechet, which I hope we've taken to heart and make a tremendous nafkamina in a person's relationship to life in general, the tremendous hakpada on the usage of the Shem Hashem, even where it's nogeya, the possibility of Suffolk Brochus Lukula and the Inyanim of the Shvua Shov and so on and so forth, and even an English use of the word for Hashem Yisbarah. These are words that we need to be very careful about. In keeping with the way that we've been so careful throughout the Masechet, in the same way that we have a shoktuf, a yochel, to protect women in the Ksuvas, we have a shoktuf for the Shem Hashem here, and Chazal made all kinds of ways in which we should avoid coming close to using the Shem Hashem when it comes to these inyan. It's bad enough that the dozer is a chayte in doing things which but to use Chas V'Shalom L'Shem Hashem. Now, the problem is, when you make a korban, the Torah uses the word korban L'Hashem, right? So, what exactly, these words that we're saying, when we're going to make a neder, personal neder, and we're going to use the word korban for the neder. Now, this is very strange. If I make a kinui, how do I know the difference between a real korban and a hatpasa to the concept of korban in terms of iser? When I'm talking about these words over here, I'm not talking about korbanas, you see? So if I say korban, now then that would mean that it would be a real korban if I'm taking a look at an animal. If I say it's a kainam, then it's not a kinui for a korban to bring it as a korban. It's a kinui for the iser of korban. So therefore, we have two separate issues we need to consider in kinuyim for korbanos. We also made a distinction between korban, real korban, and in the Yerushalmi, there's a list of special words for hegdish, which is what I would mean need to use. So the hegdas and so on and so forth, which is similar to korban, in the use of Agdash, to avoid connotations of korban at all, I left out the resh. And therefore, I have an entirely new word, which is based on the hatfasa for korban, which is supposed to not even remind you of korban l'Hashem, to get further from that idea of l'Hashem, you see? So therefore, the kinuyim l'korban seem to be much bigger corruptions, since they don't seem to be even based clearly on the word korban. Masha enki, cherek, cheref, cherech, those are words that sound very similar to cherem, and they do have the main consonants of cherem, so those are kinuyim lecherem. So true for nazir, nazik instead of nazir, naziach instead of nazir, paziach, which changes it in the other direction. Those are all kinuyim for nazirut. Shvuta, shikuka, or, now this is the way the Ron's going to learn, we'll see, the Ron says it's not just shvuta shkuka b'mohi, but it's rather shvuta shkuka or a neder b'mohi. Now, mohi, we do not have mohili here today, which would have been a very good example, but it seems that people used to refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as mohili or mohi, or that way there's a, you know, close relationship to Moshe Rabbeinu. I want to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, but good old Mo's Shvua. So we know that Moshe Rabbeinu, he actually made a promise to Yitro. It says, Vayoel Moshe Lashevet et Ha'ish. Now, that wasn't one of his better shvuas, because that's where he promised to send his grandchildren to the Catholic neighborhood school. But nonetheless, it was a shvuah that Moshe Rabbeinu had made to his father-in-law. So then that would be a reference to something that was a shvuah in the Torah. We'll see more about this later as we go, obviously. So shvuah could become a shvuta, a shekuka, or for that matter, a neder b'mohid. But if you just said mohi, that would be like saying, by mohi, I'm not going to. That doesn't mean anything. You can't do that. So therefore, he puts in the word nodar b'mohi to make it clear that mohi per se is not really a kinui for shvuah. So those are elo kinuyim l'shvuah. Itma. What are kinuyim? So we've seen this machlokas before. Kinuyim Rabbi Yochanan Amar Lashon Umotein. And Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer Lashon Shebadu Lahem Chachamim Lihiyot Noder Bo. So remember that there's a big machlokas, as we said, that the Lashon Umot, does that mean literally Lashon Umot? Or do we mean corrupted terms that were incorporated within Lashon Umot? Because otherwise there wouldn't have been any Chiddush that you could use Lashon Umot. Fine. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says they are an artificial language which ended up having universal application because of the Takanas Chachomim. This is a word that means that. V'chein hu omer, and we find that word Badu Chachomim, B'chodesh asher bada milibo, and there's a big question whether this really belongs here or not, because, I mean, why would Reish Lakish explain his own language of bada? However, if there are deeper meanings to HaKodesh HaShar Bada Milibo and its relationship to language and perception and Kiddush of Besdin of the month, then you can see that there might be some profound reason for Reish Lakish to bring this. Some of the Rishonim take it out because we don't find people usually explaining their language. Right. What would be the reason? What's wrong with just making a neder? Well, we don't want you to say the word korban. Well, what's wrong with saying korban? Lema korban? Because you might say korban la'Hashem. Well, what's wrong with saying korban la'Hashem? The Torah says korban la'Hashem. So why can't I say korban la'Hashem? I don't understand. What am I doing wrong exactly? I mean, I'm using the Shem Hashem in the context of something that the Torah uses as being an appropriate use, no? Ah, well, what about if you're so smart, you want to put the Shem Hashem first? Before the korban, because after all, you want to give kovet to the shame. So you say, La Hashem korban. But then, what if you just say La Hashem? Dilma, if you say korban La Hashem, you might say La Hashem and not finish it with the word korban. In which case, even though you meant to say korban, it turns out that it's similar to a shem Hashem, la tala. So because of that, we want to take out even the reference to korban, turn it into konam, as some of them, the Achronim explains that it isn't confused b'chla with hegdash, and then you won't come to say such a thing. And I'll show you that this is not some stupid thought, because Rabbi Shimon Omer, minayin shelo yomar adam, la Hashem ola, la Hashem mincha, la Hashem shlamim, but you should always say, oila la Hashem, or korban la Hashem. How do I know that? So therefore, it's because the Torah says korban la Hashem. Why does it say korban? Why does the Torah put it that way? Tabereh b'nei Yisrael v'amartaleyam adam ki akriv mikem korban la Hashem. You see that the Torah specifically writes it in that order to make sure that you won't come to actually leaving out the word korban. The kal v'chomer. So that means if this case with the whole idea of using the word was only to be maskir shem shemayim ala korban. And nonetheless, the Torah says, be careful how you express yourself. And the Torah, instead of putting the shem Hashem before the korban, put the korban before the shem Hashem, as warning you that what happens if you don't say both words. And that, the Torah said, to be careful about. Once again, we're bringing a raya, how careful you have to be not to say the shem Hashem levatola in a bracha levatola, in a bracha she'en atzricha, or if you're making a bracha when you're getting on your bike and you're in your last kilometer and you're begging the good Lord to give you that extra piece of energy, you're praying, be very careful not to make the Lashem Korban, but the Korban Lashem.
How does this apply to Ksiva? Now, if this is a tangent, that's fine.
It is
like they write a hey or G-D.
Yes.
The chazaka is it's a tangent when you ask it. That's the chazaka.
It is a chazaka. However, I must say that it is something that many of the portion bring up specifically in this sugya. So maybe we'll have an opportunity to discuss it a little bit, as you could say, a brilliant talk. Well, Bezrat Hashem, hope we'll be able to be zecher to speak about it. Maybe mitzvah Shabbos. Okay. So how much more you have to be careful of alachas kama v'kama about your brochas and about using even the kinuyim in other languages for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name as loose talk. Okay, now this machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish seems to be a machlokas tanoim, because we see in the Braita, Shamay omrim kinuye kinuyim asurim. So if there is a corruption of a kinuy, then even a corruption of a kinuy is still going to make a neder. And Beis Hillel says, no, kinuye kinuyim don't mean a darn thing. And therefore, you can use the kinuy to make an neder, but you cannot use a kinuy of a kinuy. Now, I'm assuming that that has a strong logical basis in the fundamental question of what kinuyim are. I would assume that my love, that the mandiyoma kinuye kinuyim are asurim, namely Beit Shammai. So he holds the kinuy itself is an actual language. So it's part of acceptance into the loshon of the umais. Masha Enkin, Beis Hillel holds that it's an artificial language. So where did the Chachomim agree that you could use a corrupted term of an artificial language? There's no further development of language in that because the whole language is artificial. But that would mean that Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel would be arguing with this machlokas and that Rabbi Yochanan would be going like Beit Shammai. I mean, what's going on? No, of course not. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel could certainly agree that kinuyim are lashon umot. And the question is, what level of corruption? That's one way of learning. Or the question would be, according to the Ran, would be the simple way of learning. So Beit Shammai would be saying that they're lashon umais because these are the direct terms of the lashon umais. But the corruption of that term is not in the dictionary. Beit Hillel holds. Whereas Beit Shammai holds, even corrupted terms are slain. Whereas Beit Hillel Savre, Bahani Lomishtai Umais. Or you don't even have to say that it is such a clear-cut fundamental distinction. It may simply be that when it comes to creating the dictionary, there are levels of corruption that are considered to be accepted within the language, and others that are just simply slang that don't mean anything in English. And they say, oh, look, this is not the normal way to speak, therefore it's not good enough for making a neder. Or, you know what? I could look at it as simply a gezeira. It could be there's no machlokas about the nature of language. Beit Shammai is nervous. And they're nervous that if we don't hold you to task for making a neder in a lashon, which is a kinui of a kinui, you'll end up making neder in a kinui and not know the difference. So because of that, we make a gezeira. Gezazrinan kinuye kinuye mishum kinuye. Whereas Beit Hillel Savre, they're not so machmer to make a gezeira. And lo gazrinan kinuye kinuye mishum kinuye. Okay. Now, last time Rebbe took this
mm-hmm. as an opportunity to talk about each kiafli and a flaw in clarity in language. Rebbe stressed that point.
But we've already done that before this year. So, fine. Hechi dami kinuye kinuye din adar. So now, normally, obviously, gentlemen, we would not go off on a tangent in order to address an issue that is really only nogea iser according to Beit Shammai. But I mean, over here, there's fundamental issues of language that are involved. And we need to know where does Beit Hillel hold that this stops being under the nature of a kinui and enters under kinui and kinuyim. So it's not tangential at all. So, hechi dami kinuyi din adarim, kinuyi kinuyi din adarim. So what would we mean? Well, Rabbi Yosef says what we mean is, it's fascinating. Very fascinating. Rabbi Yosef says what we mean is where we take a term that has been there accepted into the language of the Goyim, and we utilize standard grammatical constructs on a term which itself is not a real word. So let's say we have the word konam. Now, if we would want to grammatically utilize konam, right, and we would want to say, I make a konam on myself, and put that into Hebrew language grammar, what would I say? Maknamna alai, right? I took a konam, and I was maknamit on me. There ain't no such word. In other words, you cannot take a word that is not part of that grammar and utilize a grammar for it. That would be like Alon saying abasiko biyom rishon. What's a bicycle mean? So he's trying to say, I'm going to ride the bicycle, but no. Okay. So that's the idea of this. You can't say maknamna or maknachna or maknasna, because even though all of those words make sense utilizing the original word that we said is the konam, but they don't make sense the way that you're trying to use them. It's really fascinating, you know, because people do this a lot. It's interesting, even especially in technical words, you know, where there is no word in Hebrew, let's say, and that word became accepted into Hebrew. And now people are already doing Hebrew things with it in terms of the various binyanim, which is remarkable. Sometimes this becomes very funny, like when you ended up incorporating insane words in the first place. You'll remember, I think nowadays the Academy for Lashon HaKodesh addresses most of these awful situations. But remember that an axle used to be called, by definition, a front axle. And then a rear axle would be called a rear front axle. A front axle.
Back axle kid me.
Yeah. So, okay. All right. Those kind of things are a little bit funny. So we do try to avoid them, but that would be kinuyin de kinuyin, mamish. It's like hilarious, right? And the same thing would be true if you're talking about cherem. So what would be kinuye kinuyim of cherem? Well, I mean, Tani Mapsha, I mean, I could see why he wouldn't want to tell us his real name, but what Mapsha said was, well, you know, you could have a cherek for a cherem, you could have charakim. You could have charachim, you could have charafim. Now, oh my gosh, those words mean other things. Okay. But those would also be like ultimately the same word involved, no? How about Naziris? Tani Rav Yosef. Well, if you're talking about a Naziris being Nazachna, you could have a manzachna. So I'm gonna make myself a Nazir. Or machzachna or mapichna. Which doesn't really make much sense. The Bach has this as mavzichna, which is a maziach that we had before. So mavzichna would mean I'm going to be mavziach myself into a nezichus, which is a nezirus. Okay, now, Yibaylon. So what would you say with things that are more grammatically reminiscent of the term? So what about mifchazna? Or mitchazna, or mitazna. I mean, is that also the types of konam of a konam for Naziris? Or do we view those as being yet a further breakdown because they became reflexive? In other words, turning something into a verb out of a noun and then turning it into a reflexive verb by adding a tuf. I mean, is that a kinui kinuyim or is that just insanity? That's the question. What would be the din? Omer le Ravina le Ravashi. I got a good one for you. Okay. You're talking about koname. So how about kinma? Now, over there, you got another problem because this guy might be making a wonderful netter and saying, this is pure cinnamon. So what if the word that you're trying to use resembles the koname, but it resembles a completely different word also, like cinnamon gum. So kinema might. Konam ka'omar, adoma, kinemon besem ka'omar. Omale ravach, brother of chiel ravashi. I could share. What about kina? So this is a kina. Now he might mean a chicken coop. He's
eating quinoa.
Oh, exactly. Quinoa. Odom Aloshim Dekonam. So again, there's a further extension of the question over here, which is that if words become similar to other words, which make a joke out of the whole thing. So, I mean, how do we look at this? We take it seriously, or are we fooling around? So, bye, Kinnaman. Take, Tiboy. Okay, that Lashon Tiboy, remember, we found is a Lashon Yerushalmi, which is part of the Lashon of Naziris being Meshuneh. Now, you spoke about Kinui Kinuyim of the other cases, of the Haramim and of the Nadarim and of the Naziris. How about of a Shvua? Well, you could say Shivuel. You could say Shvutiel. You should say Shekukael. Wait a minute. I'm getting very suspicious of hidden agendas here. Shivuel happens to be Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson. And now you were talking about making a neder with Moshe Rabbeinu. And now you're talking about making a neder with Shivuel. Is something going on here that I'm not aware of, particularly taking into consideration that Shivuel was the one in charge of Pesel Micha that we blame Moshe for, and this is where he becomes Mui, maybe, and that's where he had agreed to have his kid raised in the Catholic seminary, and maybe that's where all of this comes from. Something's fishy. How do you say Shivuel? Okay, I take it back. I say Shivu, but you got the message right. Shivuvael, or Shavutiel, or Shekukael. Is that Shivua, or is that Kinui Kinuyim? Is that even Kinui Kinuyim? Omar Shmuel, look, if you turn it into a weird grammatical construction, Ashipta, thinking that what you're saying is, I am about to make an important Shvua. That's nonsense. Loma Klum. Ashkika. Loma Klum. Karincha. Loma Klum. They're not even similar to utilization of Shavuta, Shekuka, and so on. Okay. It could be, I mean, it's really weird. Why mention these? I mean, so some of the Rishonim say he only talked about actual cases that were brought. Lahalokat is bezdin. So this is what he said. But there's nothing particular about these cases. I don't know. But maybe if we spent another year on the daf, we could have a deeper understanding of it. Well, let's take it simply. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Omer. Ha'omer b'moi, lo'omer klum. Just saying mo, that is nothing. When the Mishnah refers to b'moi, it means the neder of mohi, which is the shvua of mohi. It means bimumata da amar mohi. And note the strange resemblance of the language, the muma. So the muma is a lashon of a shvua. So if he says, with the neder that mohi said, and that is a reference indeed to what Moshe Rabbeinu had promised, Yitro, so that is being matvis in something that was a shvua originally. And that, as we're going to see in the next Mishnah, you can actually do by the next concept that we're going to get into, which, of course, is the concept of hatpasa. We already saw that, according to the Rosh, the main element of Nidorim is hatpasa, which accounts for the interrelationship of Nidrei Hegdesh and Nidrei Iser. We'll talk about that more, Bezrat Hashem,